Well, greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters, in Christ Jesus, in that name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Lord and our Savior. Ah, I tell you, it is good to be able to catch up with you guys again and to do that thing that we do here on Faith Mix. Yep, like we said before, if God doesn't give us something to say, we don't want to talk. it's an interesting thing to do what we do. It's always curious how many people really get swirled all up, you know, about the fact that light and truth come through here, that God speaks a message and it goes out, and they don't like the fact that despite all their efforts to bite, devour, chew up to just anything that they can do, we still continue to go forward with joy and with peace and in the knowledge and in the admonition of the Lord. And we're grateful for that. We're grateful for that which we have in Him. Yeah, forgive my my voice is a little bit rusty today. I had a little bit of a cough for a few days, and I'm kind of coming through that. So always interesting. But anyways, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest of any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works." And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Okay. I'll keep going a little bit. Again, he limited it a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entereth into his rest, he also shall cease from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Amen. Praise God for the reading of His Word. You know, and little side note, verse 2 where it said, "But the word was for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." You know, sometimes people wonder where the name Faith Mix came from. There's a few different places that it came from. This is the name that God gave us to put this up. But that's part of it right there. The word mixed with faith. And, you know, for us, you know, we it's not just hearing the word, but it's the application of that truth in your life. And that's also a work of the Holy Spirit that God does in us. The word of God verse 12, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. here's something that's incredible. All right? Now, we live in a world where people do all kinds of things on the surface. You know, people do all sorts of things on the surface for all kinds of reasons. And but the thing about God is that when you come into the light and when you come into the truth, it reveals hearts, motives, intentions, and there's nothing that you can do about it. You know, when people came into Jesus' presence, for them, as so many people would break down weeping, so many people would struggle with being in his presence, so many people would react violently, you know, like the Pharisees did, to being in his presence. Why? Well, part of it was because Jesus was light and truth that came into the world. He was the Word made flesh. And so when he was walking around in the earth, when the Word that was made flesh was walking around in the earth, people that would encounter his presence would sense, even on a spiritual level, that here is someone, something that is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And he, just his very presence, brought things up to the surface that in most other situations where it was dark, people would just carry on with a surface reality, but really their true intentions being laid bare below. And the thing about the light and the truth is as it goes forward, it reveals where things are coming from. It reveals the hearts. It reveals the motives. It reveals the intentions. Now, the darkness can't exist when the light shines forward, because darkness, when light is present, when light is present, darkness has to run, it has to flee, because it's the absence, it's darkness is the absence of light. So that's why even what the world system works to do is it works to block, you know, out the light, to put out the light, to kill the light, to twist, to subvert. Because in the end, whenever the light is there, it reveals, it exposes on a spiritual level, on a natural level. That's what it does by its very nature. Truth, when it shines bright, it makes things known for what they are. Now, here's part of what our experience is when we come into the light and when we align our lives with Christ Jesus and with truth. When we come into the light, part of what happens is we bring, so God calls us, and he calls us by name, just like Jesus called Zacchaeus. He said, come down from that, you know, come down from the tree, I'm going to be your guest today at your house. Or Peter, James, John, you know, called Peter from the fishing boat, you know, said, come and follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. Called Matthew, Levi from the tax collecting booth, who was Matthew. You know, Jesus called people by name, and he calls your name. And when he calls your name, the response that Peter had is very representative. He said, away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Now, here's what happened with Peter was, here it is, light and truth is in his boat. Jesus says, throw it on your net for a catch. Peter had been working all night. He said, all right, we've taken on the nets, but nevertheless, Lord, it's your word. I'm going to do it. Fine. He does it. They have a miraculous catch of fish, 153, I believe. And when Peter realizes the miracle, and he says, Lord, away from me, I'm a sinful man. Why? Because he was now in the presence of light and truth, and he knew it, and it was revealed, and it was exposed. But for Peter, he came into the presence, and he knew where he was at. Now, in his natural thinking, for him, he was like, how can I possibly be in the presence of the living God with who it is that I've been in this life and in this world? But Jesus then says, you know, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Follow me and I'm going to take everything that's ever been in your life and I'm going to use it for my glory, my purpose, my plan, and you're going to see the reason for all that has happened before is going to be revealed in the days and the time to come. But you got to follow me, and you got to follow me with openness and with trust and with honesty of heart. And with Peter, one thing that happened with him was, which was the right response, which was, okay, you know, I'm all in. And if you are willing to take a rough around the edge fisherman with all of my flaws and all of my issues and everything else that's going on with me, and if you want to make me a fisher of men, fine. I'm there. Lord, whatever you say, because I know that you have the words of eternal life. Because remember when Jesus, in John 6, he said to those guys, when he gave everybody a hard teaching and everybody started walking away, he turned to the 12 and he says, you guys going to leave too? And Peter said, where else will we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. So even when things got rough, Peter wanted to stick it out with Jesus. Now, the point of his limitation came in the Garden of Gethsemane and around the time of the crucifixion. That was when, you know, Peter hit his wall and he ran and he knew later on what he had done. But even in that process, God was merciful to him, brought him back, redeemed him, and filled him with his Holy Spirit, which gave him the power to do what he could not do in his flesh and in his natural ability. And that's something that we always have to realize. Peter is a good example of incredible good intentions, but also the wall of human limitation. Peter's a great example of great intentions, but human limitation. And the difference between that and when God put his Spirit into him to do that work which he had for him to do is night and day. Is the difference between Peter running, you know, for his life, you know, and lying to a slave girl about his knowledge and association with Christ Jesus, to him standing up boldly in the city and from just boom, right there in front of thousands of people giving testimony to who Christ Jesus is, that he is this Jesus you've crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. Huge difference. Just like with us. For us, there's a huge difference between who we are when the Spirit of God has come upon us to do that which God has called us to do, and who we are in and of ourselves apart from God, experiencing the wall of human limitation. And human limitation, apart from him, ye can do nothing. That's what the scriptures say, and that is the absolute truth of the matter. Apart from Christ Jesus, we can do nothing. But in him, we can do all things. Now, here's the thing. When you and I come into the presence of God, what happens is it does two different things. One is it is an exposure of everything that we are, and every one of us has stuff, you know, and it exposes, but it's how you respond to that exposure of what the Spirit of God does. Now, there's a huge difference between the what the Spirit of God does in a person versus the dead, defunct religious system and all the controllers in the church system that want to try to grab people and hook them in and beat them and manipulate them and all that kind of, that's craziness, all right? No, when you come into the presence of the Spirit of the living God, that is you with him, nobody else. It's you with God. There is no human interaction in that, period. There's no human interaction in that. That is you with God. Just like Paul on the Damascus Road, that is you with God. That is God, light shining, revealing, exposing. That's you with him. There is no one else in that. And if anyone else thinks that they are the agent of God to do that, they are sorely wrong, because that is a work of the Spirit of God. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, Peter, but my Father who is in heaven. Who Jesus is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's certain things that only God can and will and should do. No one else. Why? Because it's not an external thing. This is an internal work of the Spirit of the living God in you and in me. The kingdom is where? The kingdom is within. Luke 17. The kingdom is within you. So it is a work that only God can do and only do within you, not externally. But when within he reveals and his light shines, the response of the child of the living God is, yes, Lord, here am I. This is me with everything that's ever happened and everything that's ever gone on. And I am just right before you. I am open. If you are willing to call me, I am willing to follow you with all of my heart. And this is what you got. This is what you get with me. This is all of it, you know. And so one thing is that first there's a complete exposure of who you are in the light. But the other part of that is, and I said there's two parts. The other part is, once you are laid bare before the Spirit of the living God and light and truth, there's also rest. There's also rest and peace. And that is the rest and peace that comes from God, knowing that God has embraced you, accepted you, washed you clean with the blood of Jesus, and his life he's taken it. He's the substitution sacrifice for you. You've been made perfect in him. And there's rest. Here's the thing. For us who are in Christ, there is rest for us. We have rest. We have peace. There's no more striving internally. Now, we're in a world that externally there's going to be striving. There's going to be strife. There's going to be a lot of things swirling around us outside. But inside, within you, there is rest and peace when you have brought your life and it is just laid bare before God, and you said, God, you take me. You do with me whatever it is that you will. And that is the place of rest that comes when you surrender your life in truth to Jesus, not to religion. And I've got to make the distinction and the difference, because as time goes on and as the religious systems of the world continue to break down, whatever they call themselves, and I include in that the religion of Christianity, which there's a huge difference between the religion and relationship with God that comes through Christ Jesus. Do you know that in the scriptures that Jesus, he never told them to leave the synagogue? He said, a time's going to come when they're going to kick you out because of your faith in me. So for the people of God, oftentimes we get kicked out of places. But, it was never about a religion. See, religion is man's way of social control. It's man's way of getting everybody on the same page for a human agenda. But when you are part of the body, and the body of God in the earth, this is now you receiving the message from the head. And it's very tough for somebody that's trying to do things like that, to try to control and get everybody to move in a particular direction, for them to have you hearing from God for yourself. Because when you hear from God for yourself and you are following the voice of the living God, you can't be controlled. Because God is controlling you. You know, when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and when he said, it is finished, and the veil of the temple was rent in two, that was very bad for business when it came to the religious establishments of the world. Because until that point, they got to stand between man and God. Religions of the world were there to stand between man and God. And those that were the approved of people got to stand between man and God. They got to be the mediators. And in doing so, anytime you've got a middleman, the middleman takes his cut. Anytime you have a middleman, the middleman affects so many things that goes on. And if you have a single dependent variable, then it's contingent around that middleman doing his job. When I say single dependent variable, what I mean is if the middleman doesn't do his job, then everything's breaking down. So before Jesus, you had to go through that. I mean, you know, once a year sacrifices were offered, all of that was there, the whole Old Testament, Old Covenant system was there. Once Jesus Christ cried on the cross, "It is finished," and God with his own hand ripped the veil of the temple from top to bottom. I mean, it wasn't some flimsy curtain. I had a friend of mine who was, one time I'd done a study into this, and this guy collected Persian rugs. And I was over at his house one time, and he showed me, he had an incredible collection of Persian rugs, but one of these rugs, just that I looked at, was 2 inches thick, the one that he showed me, and the knots were so fine and so tight in between. And he said, "Govinda, you realize that the veil of the temple was likely 4 inches thick, so it was double that." And he told me to just pick this thing up and just to tug on it. And I mean, you get the strongest people in the world could not ever even begin to budge that and to tear that or anything. So it was not some flimsy curtain. The veil of the temple was inside. It would have been, no one could ever tear that. But God, by his own hand, ripped that from top to bottom. And the Holy of Holies was now accessible. And there was a free flow of the presence of God and those that had access to God through Christ Jesus. It broke the bandwidth wide open. And since that time, the religions of the world have worked very hard to try to get back in there and to try to mind control people once again to the point where they think that they need them to get to God. And you don't. You do not need a man to get to God. Jesus said that you need that no man should teach you. For his Holy Spirit teaches us when he comes upon us. We have the revelation of Christ Jesus in us. If God has tapped you, if God has called you, if you've responded to that call, and if you've just, like Peter, you're like, "God, here I am. I'm a rough around the edge, sinful man, but if you're going to take me, I'm going to love you with all my heart, and I'm going to follow you, and that's it. I'm with you." He loves that. He loves that. And listen, all of us have experienced difficulties in this life. All of us have experienced our own pains. All of us have experienced... each person's heart knows its own grief, all right? You and I, each of us, we know the things that we've had to struggle with and that we've had to go through. But God loves us. God calls us. And if you surrender your life in complete, just all in, nothing reserved, then you're able to follow him with all that you are. Now, here's part of it too. As you go on that path, realize that not everybody is going to go that same way. A lot of people, the majority, in fact, in the age that we've been living in, go the way of the world. And a lot of people want to stay in the darkness. A lot of people want to cling to their religion. A lot of people want to cling to control. Their desire to control others is incredible. You know, I mean, that's a witchcraft spirit, is a desire to manipulate and control other people. You know, I mean, sometimes people dress it up and they try to use God's name. You know, that's a reprehensible thing for somebody to try to manipulate and control others using Jesus' name. That is the same spirit of witchcraft. And yet they do it in his name. And Jesus said that in Matthew 7. He said, many are going to come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that in your name? And he's going to tell them. He says, look, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And that knowing is a consummation. I was never consummated with you. You were never consummated with me. You were never one with my spirit. You used me to try to validate your human, fallen, carnal agendas, but you never knew me. Because if you knew me, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you knew me, you would have gone a different way. You know, it's a crazy thing for people when that light that they think they have in them is really darkness. And there's a lot of them that we've met as we've continued on in the path that God has for us. And, you know, it's funny because for us too, because sometimes how people continue to swirl, you know, demonic assignments of the enemy. But in that, you just realize that part of it is because you are free. And when you're free, the enemy is assigned and gives assignments to his own to try to bring you back into bondage. Now, there's different ways that the enemy works to try to bring people into bondage too. And I'll give you a couple of them. One of them is to try to entice you in with honey. And so that's a seduction. So basically what happens there is usually the enemy looks to see what is it that you want. What is it that you want in this world? What's that desire that you have in your heart? And he looks to see what is in you that has still not been turned over to God. Whether it's a desire for success or power or money or a mate. Oh, that's a big one for a lot of people. Or you know, anything material, whatever it is. Whatever it is that is not been turned over to God. What he'll do is he will use that as a hook in your soul, and he will attempt to, based off of that, to try to draw you in. And he will use honey in the sense that it starts with niceties, pleasantries. You know, I'm always very hesitant when people start off with compliments with me, because that's always a red flag. You don't have to do that. You know, just be yourself. You know, why they used to call that buttering up. I don't know if that's still the same word usage, but you know, when I spent some time in Sri Lanka, they'd say, oh yeah, they're going to go butter that person up. You know, it's excuse me. oh, sorry. Yeah, no, it sounds anyways, buttering up, but you know, but beware of that. Be mindful of the fact that when people seek to compliment you, that deception may be involved. When people seek to draw you in to their thing or to try to gain access to your life, beware, because a lot of times they're just waiting for that moment and all they're trying to do is just work their way in. So beware of that. You know, a person that's of light and truth is open and bare. And here's back to verse 12, that the word of God is the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, I tell you what, you know what, I've not, a lot of times, I don't tell people what it is that I see, because so many times, the Word of God, the Spirit of the living God that's in me, will be a discerner of the thoughts and the hearts of other people, and will expose and reveal and show where they're coming from, even though they don't realize that I already know. But I know because God has showed me. And God shows you See, God gives you discernment not so that you can beat somebody down with things or that you can go around trying to correct everybody. God gives you discernment so that you can intercede, so that you can be mindful, so that you can pray, and so that you can conduct your affairs accordingly. Like, okay, I'll give you a couple examples. There's pastors that I've known, one I can think of, where I know the reason that that particular pastor was trying to get close to me was because he was trying to build up circles of power around him. And at the time when that one was trying to draw me in was also because he was trying to increase his power base in the country that I was in because of some of the things that I was involved with at the time, which he thought would be of benefit to him. So it wasn't... I see that. I know that. I understand that. You know, another one that I can think of, the motives and the intentions with that one in particular was because it was what he thought would be in the long term a financial benefit for him and for what he was doing. Now, these are guys that are in the leadership positions, but it's funny how even though they preach and teach the Word of God and all of that, but in the end, the Word and the truth and the Spirit of light of God Himself reveals the hearts, the minds, the intentions, and the motives. And if you stay close to God and you stay in the light, God will always reveal these things to you. That's why even when these guys came up to Jesus, you know, and they're like, good teacher, we know that you teach the truth and, you know, you don't respect the person of man. Eh? And they would just go on with all those compliments. And then they would come in with their questions. So tell us, you know, is it right to pay taxes or is it not? You know, should we pay taxes or should we not? Because why? Because they had trick questions. And God, it says in the scriptures that Jesus knew where they were coming from. He even told them, even those ones he would call them out. But it was, he was like, you know, who are you trying to trick with your, who are you trying to trick with this question? You know, you've got your trick questions. He knew where people were coming from. He didn't entrust himself to others because he knew the hearts and the intentions and the motives of people. But realize that people come to you with honey. And also another way that people show up is they show up with just outright oppression and attacks. That's another attack of the enemy, is seeking to manipulate and bludgeon others. And part of the reasons why they do that is because they project out from the war that's going on within them. See, this is where you know somebody has not truly met Christ and is not walking in with him, because within them it's not been resolved. Within them there's no rest. Within them there's no peace. Within them they're looking for something external to satisfy something that will only be found within, and that can only happen if they turn their lives over to light and truth, and they refuse to do that. So instead they attack and hurt and harm others, and they're pawns of the devil. But realize that when people attack like that, that they're just something that's being used by the enemy. And you treat it as such. But you carry on. Carry on with light and with truth. Carry on. Use discernment, but carry on. Don't allow those things to consume your thoughts. Because you're going to have, if you're walking with Christ, you're going to have opposition. In this life you will have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world, is what Jesus said in John 16. Take heart. Realize that you're going to have, throughout your life, there's going to be attempts to seduce or to outright crush. But, you know, for us, we just walk past the seduction attempts like they're nothing, and we walk through the oppression like it's nothing as well, because our eyes are fixed on Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we will call things out when we need to. Because why? Because we're on the winning side. We've aligned our lives with truth and with Christ Jesus, and that being the case, we are on the winning side. So when you're a winner, that's fine. When you've already won, it's done, it's resolved, there's peace, the game's over, you've already won. There's no drama. There's just peace. So, with that understanding, let this message profit you. Mix it with faith, belief, trust. A lot of people, that which is preached to them does not profit them anything. Does not profit meaning there's no benefit to them at all. There's people that have heard the word, but it's not mixed with any trust or belief, and so it's just a dead religion for them. But unto you, my brothers and sisters, that listen and hear, and this is one reason why we love that we do it this way, is that you've invested yourself into this. You've taken the time to listen because you want the truth. We know that. I mean, some of you listen in because also you're assigned by the enemy to listen and to try to keep tabs. And that's fine. We know who you are. And it doesn't really bother us. Maybe, hopefully, Lord willing, you'll have your Saul on the Damascus Road experience as well. And we hope that for you. We pray that for you. But otherwise, because the word doesn't return void, so it does accomplish its purpose as it goes out. But we know that the bulk of you that listen in, you listen in because you want light and truth, and you want to walk out the peace that God has for you. And I know, we know that you, it's rough sometimes in this journey, but take heart, for He has overcome the world, and we overcome the world in Christ Jesus. And know that God is in control, and realize that the enemy is going to do what the enemy does. That's his assignment. That's why he's here in the world. That's why he's allowed to exist. He serves a purpose, a larger purpose than maybe sometimes we even understand. But don't worry about any of these things. Be at peace and rest. And whatever concerns you have, bring them before God. Just even as Peter said, Lord, away from me, I'm a sinful man. And this is who I'm at. And God accepted it and received him. Bring those things. Jesus said, be anxious about nothing. Well, Paul writing about it, but it's God's word and admonition to us of what God had instructed him to say to the church. Be anxious about nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, bring it before him. Not others, but him. And he will direct your path. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust God. Love him. And all is going to be good in Christ Jesus. And with that, we love you guys. Hey, God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com, and audios are all up there at faithmix.com. And, sometimes there's a ton of stuff in the archives and in older audios that have been done. And because the Spirit of God is in this, there's plenty of stuff out there if you guys are ever curious to go through older things that are there. So they've been put up because we've just continually worked to create this resource for you guys and for the body of Christ to encourage and to help and to strengthen you. So make access of those, use them, access as much as you want. And we'll do what we can to keep things going. And whenever God says that's it, then that's it. So until then, keep on keeping on. We love you guys and God bless you. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Bye.